Hello, Rebels. This is Attorney Chloe Corbett, a.k.a. the Duchess of Justice. And with me, I have...
Attorney Augustus Corbett, a.k.a. the Minister of Justice.
We are the Defiant Lawyers. We provide legal analysis of trending politics, policies, personalities, and pop culture to empower you to defy an unjust legal system. Before we get into today's topic, please smash that like button, hit the subscribe button, and share this video with your family and friends so that they too can become a part of the Legal Rebel community. With that, Dad, what's up and what is our topic for today?
Doing good, Chloe. And the topic today is the battle over critical race theory being taught in school. It is all the rave. We as lawyers, we need to get in on this conversation. We got a lot to offer. So let's do this.
Let's hop into it. And what a battle it is.
Yes, it is. I think we saw yesterday with the gubernatorial election in Virginia just how important this battle is over critical race theory. I read a poll where many of the folks who voted for the Trump, the winner of the governor's race, who was supported by Donald Trump, they said that education, schools, was their number one reason for voting for,
Glenn Tompkins.
Yes, they voted for him. They said because of education, school, and we know specifically they are talking about critical race theory being taught in school for the most part.
Yeah, critical race theory was definitely a battleground topic in the Virginia governor's race last night. For people who don't realize, yesterday was election day in several states across America. There were several key races in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, but the most hotly contested race was the Virginia's governor race between Democrat candidate Terry McAuliffe and Republican candidate Glenn Tompkins. And on Twitter, you know, I'm always going to bring up Twitter because that is such a linchpin in what is going on in America, at least on social media. There was a viral video where a reporter was interviewing a Virginia voter, and he was asked what was the most important issue for Virginia voters. And that man said critical race theory. But what was notable about that, his answer, is that the reporter went on and asked him to define what critical race theory is, and he did not know what it was. But a lot of voters went out yesterday and picked their candidates based on something that they don't understand. So Republican Glenn Tompkins, he did win the governor's race in Virginia. He is now the governor-elect of Virginia. And he kind of skillfully put critical race theory in the same category as parents' rights, because a lot of parents have been upset in Virginia and all over the country about their inability, they say, to kind of foster what is being taught to their children. So when Democrat candidate Terry McAuliffe was asked about, you know, parents having concern about what is being taught in school, he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, "I think parents should just go along with what schools are teaching." Obviously, I'm not a parent. You can speak more to this, but a lot of parents were upset about that. And a lot of analysts are saying that that was one of the key reasons why Tompkins was able to overtake the race for Glenn Tompkins. But at the core of that race was critical race theory. And I want us today to talk about what it is, the history of it, and why we think it's been a kind of a hot button issue for the last year or so. So, Dad, can you just explain to our rebels what critical race theory is?
Yes. Critical race theory pretty much had its origin in law schools back in the 60s, the 70s. It was sort of founded or spearheaded by folks like Derrick Bell, the late Professor Derrick Bell, a Harvard law professor. Kimberly Crenshaw, she is a law professor today. I can't remember where. Richard Delgado, a Hispanic law professor, I believe at the University of Chicago, I think, don't quote me on that, and many, many, many others. These law professors, law students, and lawyers at that time in the 70s and 80s, 60s, they were in law school, they were learning the law, but they felt like the law was inadequate to really address a lot of the issues that still confront African Americans. The Brown versus Board of Education decision had been handed down in 55, 54, and 55. And here, 15, 20 years later, you know, the African American community was still dealing with a lot of the same racial types of issues. And so they began to feel like, hey, this is just not doing, the law is just not accomplishing what it should be accomplishing. What is the problem? What is the problem with the legal system and the law, which supposedly is racially neutral, but is still not addressing the core issues where race is concerned, where racial justice is concerned, where equality is concerned? And so they begin to start developing, you know, thoughts and what some folks call a framework to deconstruct, if you will, what the law should be with respect to racial equality. And after deconstructing, intellectually deconstructing what they considered to be an inadequate legal system, they begin to construct another legal framework or legal theory that they thought would be better able to address the issues that face African Americans. A lot of folks tend to look to a book that was written by Professor Richard Delgado. The name of the book is Critical Race Theory. And Professor Delgado, it's a great book. There are some others, too, that I've read. And by the way, I heard of Critical Race Theory in 2000 for the first time. That was 21 years ago. I was in law school. It's probably right around this time, 21 years ago, and in my, I think it was a common law class. And I hadn't heard of critical race theory before then. I felt the same way that those professors felt, because the law really was not accomplishing all that we had hoped from the Brown versus Board of Education decision and other civil rights opinions. But I didn't know about critical race theory, and so therefore I didn't have that vehicle to express myself. But when the professor mentioned critical race theory, I'll never forget, I thought to myself, I need to learn immediately what critical race theory is. I can remember him calling adherents of critical race theory crits. And I would like to proudly say I'm a crit, okay? I am a critical race theorist. I embrace the critical race theory tenets. I believe and agree with the late Professor Derek Bell, as well as Kimberly Crenshaw and the whole community of crits, that the law has, although it's facially neutral, it just hasn't accomplished what it should have accomplished, especially since the Brown versus Board of Education decision. And without going too much more in depth, Chloe, critical race theory just has some basic tenets, one of which is America is basically systemically racist. Racism, according to critical race theory, I'll abbreviate it CRT. According to CRT, America is, just inherently systemically racist, and the racism of America is not an aberration, Professor Delgado says in his book. It is not something that, you know, is that Americans can deny, although many white Americans do deny it. but it's normal. It's par for the course. In America, America is racist, systemically racist. Just like America loves apple pie, America loves baseball. Well, America is racist. You know, there's been a whole lot of debate here, especially since Trump took office, as to whether or not that statement is true. A lot of whites deny it, but the history and the present confirms it again and again and again and again. It shouldn't even be controversial. Okay, America is certainly a racist, systemically racist country. Also, there is another tenet of critical race theory. It's called interest convergence. And essentially what it means is that both wealthy whites and working whites, their interests as whites converge. And so that's one of the reasons why addressing racism has been so difficult, because, you know, white society, not every white person, okay, not every white person is racist, but white society as a whole is racist. And when I talk about racism, it's fundamentally just believing that whites are superior to blacks. Many whites would deny that they're racist. They would say, for example, I don't hate anyone. I don't hate black people. Well, that's getting only to part of it. And typically where there's hatred, that is more blatant racism. And that's what you typically would find with the KKK and the skinheads and the Aryan Nation and that whole crowd of people. Not all white people, I would say, hate blacks, but a whole lot of white people believe that white culture, white people are superior to African Americans, which is also racist. To think that there is a superior race versus an inferior race, and then based on the superiority or the inferiority of the races, then you assign them their social status. That's just racist at its core. So that is another tenet. Now I'll stop there. I could go on and on and on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say this is good for our listeners. One thing that I want to focus on at the very beginning of what you said is this is a legal scholarship theory that was created by law professors.
Yes.
So this theory was percolating in law schools with legal scholars. It was a high level theory that was taught in grad schools, etc. Mm-hmm. And it has been around for over 40 years. So and we're going to get to this later about whether or not critical race theory is being taught in elementary and middle schools. But most adults don't even understand this theory. So imagine trying to explain this to an elementary student, a middle school student. So this is a high level theory that has been percolating in law schools for decades. Okay. And I want to make a quick correction. I said that the new governor elect of Virginia was Glenn Tompkins. I believe it's Glenn Youngkins. So let me make that correction.
No disrespect, but yeah, he's not somebody that we would be familiar with anyway.
Right. At all. Yeah. So one thing I want to get to as well is that critical race theory was designed by Professor Bell and others to even critique American liberals, American civil rights activists, right? Can you That's expound right. on that?
Yes, that is a very good point. A lot of the that was one of the really frustrating things for a lot of the founders of critical race theory. When they would have these conversations with their liberal colleagues and classmates and law professors, those white liberals tended to be, accepting of the fact that America is racist, etc. But they would not go full steam in trying to eradicate racism. And that was extremely, extremely frustrating for the founders of critical race theory. And it caused tension between them. The white liberals at the end of the day, with all due respect, are still white. They've never really walked in the shoes of African Americans. So quite naturally, they couldn't fully comprehend and understand what it meant to be, what it means to be a black man or a black woman or a black youth. They don't know what it is for their sons, for us to have the talk with our sons about how to deal with the police. They don't know what it is to have to deal with the microaggressions that we deal with pretty much daily. They don't know what it is to have to, you know, the feeling that you get when you know somebody's following you around in a store, or you can't buy a home in this neighborhood, or you didn't get a promotion for this reason, or your hairstyle is wrong, or you just being black. They don't know what that's about. Intellectually, they try to understand it, but they can't get it. They can't just really fully comprehend that. And that interferes with their ability to go full throttle against eradicating racism. And again, the law, I mean, you have the 13th and the 14th and the 15th amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and especially the 14th Amendment, which specifically has the Equal Protection Clause in it, which, I mean, it was written for African-Americans, for the newly freed slaves. And yet we still have all of this racism. So the law has been inadequate, and partly because the liberal scholars and professors and judges and attorneys and so forth who could be doing a whole lot more to help eradicate racism, they don't. And so what crits believe is allow African Americans, lawyers, law students, law professors, etc., to write some of these law review articles, to do a whole lot more speaking in the law schools, because that's we're going to bring an experience from the bottom that will inform the country. I mean, white liberals can't do it. And so that's an issue because, again, if you read the average law review article where critical race theory has been discussed over the years, it's going to be written by a white liberal for the most part. You know, there is a cabal of white liberal law professors, constitutional lawyers, et cetera, who kind of just feed from each other. They have somewhat of an echo chamber. And oftentimes they don't look to the Kimberly Crenshaws and the Richard Delgados and the late Derrick Bell when he was alive, and others, Charles Ogletree. I can name many black law professors who were sort of ostracized by white liberals.
Yeah. And that kind of goes to your point that you were making earlier about, you know, the law has not done enough to address the systemic racism that is in the country. And one of the tenets of CRIT is that even with race-based neutral laws, there is still systemic racism that oppresses black and other types of people. So we may not have like the jelly bean test that was in the, you know, early 20th century, where black voters would have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to vote. But even with these quote unquote race-based neutral laws, where it's not explicitly racist, you know, out front and center, the effect of the law is still racist and it's still systemic. Could you expound more on how CRIT looks at race-based neutral laws?
Well, let's for example, let's go to the U.S. Congress, right? African-Americans got out here, and I believe this is the reason why Virginia happened last night. The reason why let me just do a search here.
Yeah, let's just look it up. We live in Texas, everyone. So.
Yeah. so I stopped messing his name up. But Youngkin.
You actually had the right the first time.
Okay, I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So the reason why Youngkin, I believe, is the governor for Virginia is because the Democrats' inability to get some key things done after being in office now 6 months. Mm-hmm. Black Americans went to the polls in record numbers in 2020, saved Joe Biden's campaign. You remember the South Carolina primary where it was almost over for him? Representative Jim Clyburn got out and began to beat the tamarines to get black folks to the polls. We went out. We saved his election. We also delivered the state of Georgia. We flipped that state. What do we have to show for it 6 months now after Biden and the first black American vice president has been elected? So far, very little. Very little. Very little. And Joe Biden is a white liberal. And the people in his cabinet are white liberals. Okay? Yet, they have not followed through on their promises. Now, what am I talking about specifically? I'm talking about, number one, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Okay? A piece of legislation that will reform the police department or policing of black Americans in this country. So far, you got two so-called Democrat liberals who are behaving more like conservatives who will not do what's necessary to pass this police reform bill. Also, we are trying to get the John Lewis voting bill passed. Even that bill hasn't been able to get through the Senate. Both have been passed by the House, but a 50-50 Senate where two Democrat white politicians will not support at least amending the filibuster rules so that that law can be passed, that hasn't happened. And as a result of that, states across the country have been passing these anti-critical race theory laws, these voter suppression laws, even the anti-protest laws, all because the people that black folks went out and put their confidence in and waited 8 hours in line to vote for have not delivered on their promises. All right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of blacks, especially young blacks, blacks even like yourself, Chloe, who you were really a supporter of Bernie Sanders more than you were Joe Biden.
I was not excited about Biden at all.
Exactly. And so we older African-Americans who were trying to get Biden in office so we could get this legislation passed, we kind of, you know, we sort of pushed y'all, you know, to get out there, help get this man elected so we can get these laws passed. Well, so far, Biden has embarrassed us. Okay? He has not delivered. And so everything that a lot of the stuff that you and other younger millennial blacks were saying about Biden and so forth has proven true. And more importantly, that has caused a lot of, I believe that caused a lot of Virginian, black Virginian voters, younger voters who may have voted for the first time to say, forget it. What's the point? I mean, what's the point in doing this? This doesn't work. This doesn't work for us. And mm-hmm. This is a liberal Democrat president. That's what the critical race theorists be talking about.
And well, a lot of the polls, the exit polls back up exactly what you're saying, that the Democrat who ran in the Virginia race underperformed in the very counties that Biden won just 6-7 months ago. He underperformed in blue counties that were usually reliably Democrat. And Youngkins, he overperformed in those same counties. I saw an exit poll where a lot of black voters did not actually vote yesterday.
Yep.
So there was low turnout in key Democratic constituencies, and the white woman vote. The white woman vote went for Biden about 10 in the presidential election. It completely flipped with this governor election. I think it was a 30-plus difference between Youngkins and the Democrat. So what you're saying, what you have described, how we all feel, especially those of us who are black who wanted to see these changes with the George Floyd policing act, the Voting Rights Act, et cetera, are disappointed in the way the Biden administration has addressed these issues.
Well, it was a double whammy, in my opinion, because you just put your finger on the other whammy. I described the first whammy of the lack of enthusiasm that black voters have now because white liberal Democrats, white moderate Democrats have not followed through. They've not delivered. But there's another whammy, and that whammy is directly related to critical race theory, and it is because of the demographic you just mentioned, white female suburban voters who were manipulated, in my mind, by GOP politicians and think tanks and so forth with the issue or over the issue of critical race theory, okay? And so when we saw all these angry white people, mostly white mothers, suburban mothers in their school board meetings, fighting critical race theory, no critical race theory, no critical race theory, no critical race theory, that really fired up Youngkin's base. They simply used that issue as a lightning rod, and they used it to gin up support, to gin up passion of the white community. And as you said earlier, most of those white voters and the folks who were at the school talking about no to critical race theory don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. And I doubt very seriously that teachers are teaching critical race theory. I doubt that. I doubt it very, very, very seriously. To simply teach American history, that America enslaved blacks for over 200 years, over 250 years, and then American segregated blacks under Jim Crow, and mass incarceration, systemic racism. Those are just facts. Those are just facts. And so to teach that doesn't necessarily mean you're teaching critical race theory. You're just teaching American history. But let me just finish this thought. Those people in the sort of the academic circles and the political circles in the conservative movement were able to find an issue. They're very skilled at that. They were able to find an issue to get their voters out, especially suburban white women. And how many times have we seen news reports of angry white people at school board meetings shouting down critical race theory, fighting over vaccine mandates? You know, they politically use those issues like they did in the 70s with abortion. Okay, use the same issue, same type of issue to gin up support. And while the conservatives are ginning up support for their candidates, what are the Democrats over here doing? They're not doing anything to show their most loyal constituents, African Americans, we got your back. And as a result of that, African-Americans stayed home while whites, as you said, overperformed in Virginia. And if this isn't changed, if this isn't corrected, it's going to be real bad for Democrats in 2022.
Yeah, I agree. Things are not looking great for Democrats in the midterm elections and next year. Can't believe it's next year. But one thing I do want to address, because I've seen a lot of parents, you know, go on different news channels and say, well, it's not necessarily that we have a problem with critical race theory, but we want to be involved in what the school is teaching our children. We want to know what they are actually being taught. I saw also former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice say that, you know, white children should not be made to feel bad about being white, that, you know, black children just need to be uplifted. So I want to address all of the reasons why a lot of parents have come out at those school boards and other across social media and say, well, look, we just want to be able to have some control over what our kids are being taught in school. That's usually a lot of what the critics say about critical race theory, is that it's a parents' right issue versus what teaching critical race theory in school. I hope that makes sense.
That does make sense. And it while it makes sense, it is it excludes black parents.
I mean, I hope my question makes sense. I hope my question makes sense. Yes, it does.
Yes, I understand your question. I believe, which is critical race theory is a parental rights issue. It is the rights of parents to say what they want schools to teach their children. Okay, well, let's give them that. What about what African-American parents want schools to teach their children? Right. In other words, we want schools to teach all children in America the truth about race, the truth about American history, the truth about slavery, the truth about Jim Crow. Why is that important? Because someone said that history is a prologue. History will repeat itself if we forget it. And it's the reason why the Jewish community, the American Jewish community, will not ever allow the school system nor any other system to forget the Holocaust, because their greatest fear is that it could happen again. If it's not taught, if it's not memorialized, then another generation of Americans, another generation of Europeans can repeat that same thing. That is true for African Americans as well. If we allow them, one group of parents, okay, that's what we're talking about, one group of parents to dictate what schools can teach, all because they don't want their children feeling bad, that is just fundamentally unfair. And what has been sort of you know, distressing to me is the fact that I haven't seen black parents at school board meetings. I mean, we've been absent. We've been silent.
Well, we've seen a couple of them on Fox News coming out, you know, Fox trotting a couple of black parents out against CRIT.
Well, yes, there have been blacks out who are in support of getting rid of critical race theory, but we've not seen many blacks, if any, out at school board meetings supporting critical race theory, or at least supporting, forget critical race theory in school, let's at least supporting that schools teach the true history of American, you know, American history having enslaved African Americans, Jim Crow, etc. We have been on the sidelines. And when we're on the sidelines, Chloe, they control the narrative. And that's what has happened over the past few months. They have been controlling the narrative because we have been silent. We haven't been present. We haven't been at those school board meetings. In fact, I think we should be outside the schools protesting like we did when George Floyd was lynched. We protested, I mean, for months and months and months. this issue has the potential to be even worse than the brutal lynching of George Floyd. Because this has to do with educating our children. This is fundamentally changing the public education system as we know it. This here is a very, very serious issue. And the GOP is using this issue to steal elections. Okay? So we gotta get reactivated and re-engaged in this debate over critical race theory, because it's being used as the boogeyman to get some serious laws passed. Here in Texas, several laws have been enacted against critical race theory in the schools, and it's happened in other states. Meanwhile, African Americans seem to again be on the sidelines.
Yeah. And it's because a lot of, unfortunately, African Americans and just Americans in general are ignorant about what critical race theory even is. So, you know, just as a recap of what we talked about, this is a legal scholarship that has been around for 40 years. Okay. This is not something that started with elementary school teachers or high school teachers. It is a high level legal principle to critique the way that the American legal system and other systems in this country have interacted with race and not done enough to do with the agony of slavery and racism in this country. So this is amongst legal scholarship, first of all. Second, critical race theory, I highly doubt, and I have not seen any evidence that shows to me that critical race theory is being taught in elementary, middle, and high schools in this country. What we need to do is teach the history of racism in this country. And the history of racism is not the same thing as critical race theory or critiquing the American legal system and other systems in this country. They're not. And so if a white student and their family, quote unquote, feels bad about learning about the history of race in this country, in my opinion, they should use that to be like, you know what? I don't want to go back to the way this country used to be. Let's focus on what the ideals of our forefathers on what they were trying to achieve. Let's not do that anymore. Let's listen to the other side so I can lift my hand out to see what do I need to do to stand with my black brothers and sisters so that we can continue to create a more perfect union. So it's not being taught in schools. There's no evidence that it's being taught in schools. It is a high level legal theory that has been percolating in legal circles for years. And finally, the American white liberal politicians and Democrats, they need to do more, just like you said, that to address their black constituents who put them in those positions anyway.
That's right.
You think that's a fair recap of our conversation today?
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah.
We got to get engaged. It's not enough that we vote. That's obvious. It's not enough that we vote. I mean, folks are just turning back precious rights of ours. So we got to get out there. We got to fight back. We got to push Biden. We got to push Manchin. We got to push Sinema. We got to push other white liberals to take it to these folks, because they're getting things done all under the umbrella of the big lie told by Donald Trump. I mean, we're literally getting set back, okay, right before our eyes. And it's alarming to me to see that happen, and we're just disengaged. And so I heard Al Sharpton say last week how he's just going to keep talking about it, whether people want to hear it or not. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to keep just bringing it out there and bringing it out there and bringing it out there and bringing it out there. Okay. I'm not going to stop.
Yep. Me either. I'm going to be right there with you, because I'm a crit as well. I'm a critical race theorist. I believe in its tenets, and I believe that our systems have not done enough to address the ugly legacy of slavery and racism in this country. And just like you said, in this state, the Texas governor and legislature have used critical race theory to erase schools from teaching about the atrocities of slavery and the Native American genocide, even Martin Luther King and other things. So they are using it to literally erase the history of racism in this country. It's being done. It's already been done in this state and other states around the country.
All right. Well, I think that'll be the end of it today, Chloe, for this discussion. Thank you for hosting and leading this conversation. With that said, we're out of here.
Goodbye, guys. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We'll see you in the next video.